Welcome to this episode of the Woolroo Podcast, hosted by Will Taylor, where we invite leading professionals in the creative industry to educate our listeners on their experiences for free. Today's guest is Jose Peña of award-winning motion design studio, Ordinary Folk. Before we get right in, we'd like to give a quick word from our sponsor, NordVPN. NordVPN helps you to protect your privacy online by encrypting your internet traffic and routing it through servers in over 60 countries. NordVPN works on all your favorite devices like computers, phones, tablets, and even TVs. If you'd like to try out NordVPN for absolutely free for the first 30 days, visit wlr.oo/NordVPN. That's wlr.oo/NordVPN. Thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring this episode and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. For those that do not know me, my name is Jose Peña. You can call me JP because I know Peña is a little bit hard to pronounce. I'm a full-time animator at Ordinary Folk. I've been full-time animator for, like, I think 2 months now. Actually, almost 3. It's been crazy how fast time flies. I've been interning with them on and off. And I think what's fun about this is that I was, like, actually one of you guys in, like, in the community back in, like, 2016, 17, something like that. It's crazy to see how many of us have grown throughout the years, and glad to be hosting this little stage chat. So I think I'll go ahead and start answering some of the questions from top to bottom. First one is, how long have you been in the motion design industry? I think 4 years or 5 years, if you start counting, like, the very first time I started doing, like, Cinema 4D intros, because that's how we've been. All of us began. We just started doing these weird animations to, like, songs. If you count that, then yeah, probably 4 to 5 years. But, like, professionally, probably closer to 3. Yeah, more or less. Like, since I started doing, like, actual freelance stuff, like, actual, like, design studios, probably 3 years. How do you get inspiration for your projects? I usually, for my projects, I like to do them on a certain topic that I'm genuinely interested about. So, like, if you look at, the one of creativity, it was something that I was actually wondering for quite some time. Like, everybody has this idea of what creativity is, and it's mine is going to be different than yours, and you're going to have this weird idea. Oh, no, creativity, everybody's creative, or this and that. And I don't know, it's something that I've always wanted to talk about, and I just use my, like, skills of design animation as a way to portray my ideas and communicate the message. But, like, as inspiration for, like, design style, just look at, I like, for example, the way I began doing this, I just hopped on Vimeo when I was, like, 16, 17, and I just looked at every single project every day, and I usually have a good memory for those, so, like, whenever I want to do something, I want to decide, it's like, oh, maybe it could look like this project that, let's say, Oddfellows posted, like, 2 years ago, and then I go look at it, and then maybe even Pinterest works a lot, because you can see images. If you like an image, it's going to show you, like, 200 more images that are just the same. So, yeah, pretty much from memory, and then here, now and then, you do get a creative block, which leads perfectly to the next question, which is, how do you overcome it? Really? Usually when you're in a creative flow, the first thing that comes to your mind is just like, oh, let me work this through, think about it. Usually you get very stressed, and it never really works out. Like, usually whatever the outcome is of that stress and that creative flow in the moment, if you're, like, pushing it and you're like, oh, I have to do this in the next hour, it's not going to be good. It's really going to suck most of the time. It's not going to be the best solution. Like, what I just do now, if I know that I'm a creative flow, I just, like, hey man, screw it. I'm going to go play some video games or whatever. I mean, unless it's, like, client work and you have to crank the hours, and even then you can, like, take a pause for a bit, listen to some music, even go outside. I live in Savannah, Georgia, so, like, there's a lot of nature around here. Whenever I'm on the block or something, I just go outside and take a walk and chill out, get a coffee or something. And then usually that doesn't solve it. Usually I need more time than that, but sometimes it right away the idea comes to mind, or at least a solution that is good enough. Because the perfect solution is probably, you're never gonna find it. In very similar cases, you do get the perfect solution. You're like, okay, this is exactly what we need to do. This is how we're gonna do it. Those are great moments, but that definitely doesn't happen every single time. How much do you charge for like a 1 minute 3D video? I mean, for 3D stuff, I have no idea. I don't even know how much, if there is a difference at all in like the rates per hour or something when it comes to 3D versus 2D. I would suspect that there isn't. But I know that I began charging, I mean, of course, it was way back then when we were doing intros. It was like, I think it was like $5 for an intro and $10. And you make your way up to like 10, 15. But you're never going to get like actual, let's say, decent amount of money unless you're freelancing for like studios or actually reputable big companies that understand and value your work. Because it's pretty interesting. The people that they, let's say, lowball you, they're like, oh no, we need a 50, we're going to get a 2 minute video for $50. And usually they don't even appreciate the design work. I don't know why that is. But like on the other hand, the people are like, oh yeah, we're going to give you, let's say, whatever, $30 an hour for the video. We're expecting you to work 40 hours in total, so like a week. And that's because they do actually appreciate the design itself. So that's usually what you're going to find. But yeah, it depends a lot on your skill, and you have to be a little bit self-conscious, because like from the beginning, when I first interned for Ordinary Folk, I had no idea how to like what to charge or how to tell my clients that I'm charging this amount per hour or per day or whatever. And I straight up just asked Jorge and was like, hey man, this is my reel, like I'm getting this client asking me how much do I charge. I have no idea what to tell them, because I've never done that. Like most of our works, we usually did it for like $50, $100. Like $100 was like a big deal back then, I remember. And he's upset. It's like, I think it was $400 a day. Yeah, he said, you shouldn't charge any less than $400 a day. And that was with, I think it was in my 2018 reel or something like that. I think most of us, we don't value our work as much as it actually is worth. So yeah, I mean, start testing with some, if you get a chance to land like a bigger client that is willing to pay the extra bucks, confidently just say, hey, yes, my rates are, let's say $30, $40 an hour. It's gonna take me a total of this amount of hours approximately. And this is gonna be the final cost, something like that. Or don't even say the rest, just say, this is my rate, this is what I do. I'm gonna work 8 hours a day or whatever. And yeah, you just have to be confident and push it through. And most of the time they're actually gonna agree, if it's a client that actually values your animation, your design. How long have you been employed or in Folk? Yeah, one month. Actually, no, I'm sorry, 2 months, almost three, I think. But yeah, I've been interning with them for quite some time now. It's probably since 2018, I want to say, something like that. But it's been very, very on and off. So I'm interning with them like 2 months, and then I go off and go to SCAD, and then maybe I hop in for some freelance projects, and then I go back and don't do anything with them for like 4 or 5 months. Yeah, it's a lot of fun enough. But yeah, full-time employment, it's 2 months and a half, I'd say. How do you get your ideas? I mean, I think that's pretty relative to how to get inspiration for your project, so yeah. When did you first start 3D promos and stuff? If you're talking, if you mean like client-related stuff, I would say a couple of years ago, the way that I did it back then to like actually gain clients, because the problem I'm guessing some of you have is that you don't have the reputation to like just go up to you don't have the reputation big enough so the clients will come to you. So what I did, like I just straight up, for example, I saw this, let's say an esports company, I saw their logo animation, let's say, for example, or whatever. And I was like, oh, I can actually do that. I think I have a cooler idea. I would just make it and show it to them and tweet it at them or like DM them or DM somebody that I know is affiliated with the company. Actually, that's how I landed a job at SkinHub with Wismir, I think that was his nickname. I have it even in my YouTube channel. I'm going to link the video, actually. Let me find it. And I know some of us have also worked with them, but I don't know if they're in the call. You know, I don't remember the names right now. Let me go ahead and grab the link. Oh my God, that's a lot of questions, Jesus Christ. So yeah, basically I just did that and I DM'd them like, hey, I made this for you guys. I don't know if you guys want some like, I can do this for you. If you pay me, I can keep doing this for you. And they basically said, yeah, you know, let's sign this contract. We're going to have you for X amount of hours this month, and let's see how it goes. We're going to do you, we're going to make you do like some smaller, you know, not so important work. Of course, they just wanted to test you. And if you do well, then yeah, you get that. But yeah, basically back then you just really reach out to them, because nobody's going to reach out to you if you haven't built up your reputation. And you scroll back up. I have no idea. Zad, I come in the chat. Hi, Finny. How you doing, man? I know you can talk, so I'm gonna think you said good. Are you proud of yourself? I think so, yeah. I mean, most of us, we've been working on this for a lot of years, and we were really, like, we envisioned most of these things. We really were dreaming of it, and so yeah, I would definitely say I'm proud of myself. Responding to a client who thinks you're too pricey depends a lot on the context, man. I kind of want to say something, but I know, like, the best person you should go to, because he has tons of videos about that, is Chris Doe. He knows how to make you sell. Like, he's gonna teach you how to sell your stuff. Basic tips is be confident, and if they're like really lowballing you, let's say you say yeah, it's $30 an hour, and they say 25. If you can do that, then go for it. But if they say, no, we can only do $5 an hour, then screw them. You can't do that. sorry about that. Do your parents support you? Yeah, a lot. I've been lucky enough that my parents have been supporting me all throughout the way, even though my father still has no idea what I do. He has no idea what motion sickness. But my mother, she's very, very, very supportive, always been, ever since I started doing like the Cinema 4D and shows that look absolutely horrible. And I have no idea why I haven't unlisted them on my channel. She stood up supporting me from the beginning, and she saw that, you know, if you have that passion and that thrive to keep getting better and better, they're going to support you. Some of them, I'm lucky that mine did. How old were you when you did your first commission? I mean, back then I did commissions for like $5 to a Minecraft YouTuber that has like 10 subscribers, so I don't know if that counts. But like full freelance commission, my first one was with Ordinary Folk. It was after, I want to say, yeah, after my first internship in 2018, I think. They reached out to me for a project with Google, and it was my first time that I had to tell them that my rate was X or Y. And I just straight up asked him, he asked me like, what's your rate? And I was like, I don't know. What rate would you suggest I say? He's like, you shouldn't charge this and that. So I was like, okay, let's do that. But yeah, that was my first one for like professional stuff. Ways to increase brand value. Just be better. Just really work on your skill set. If you're an animator, try to be the best you can. Also, personality helps a lot. If you're, like, for example, how do I say it? Like, there's a lot of, how do I say it? Well, yeah, just basically personality helps a lot. You definitely, of course, have to be good at what you do. And if you say you're an animator, you have to be a reliable animator. So, like, if they give you a shot, you can be like, I don't necessarily do this type of stuff. Like, I'm more towards whatever style, let's say abstract stuff. It's like, no, if they give you something, you have to do it. Unless it's like cell animation, you'd say you do 2D animation, something like that. Just be good and build that reputation of, okay, this guy is reliable. And then the personality side plus is like, he's reliable, plus he's fun to work with. If, for example, two people are as good and one is a bit more fun to work than the other, they're gonna go for that one. Because it's the same, they both charge the same price, they're both as good, they're gonna go with the one that is a bit more fun to work with. How do you get these ideas? Yeah, answer that one. How much money you have in total for your commission? I'd rather not answer that. do mine animation sucks? I could even do it if you guys are down. Well, we can do like some portfolio reviews or something later on. But yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Absolutely.
Roddy, what's it like working on projects with other like-minded people or people in the same field? And thing you learn unexpectedly that you meet your did anything meet your expectations and challenges? You're gonna be way more challenged than you think. Like, at least even in freelancing, not necessarily but like interning at a studio or anything, you're gonna be very, very challenged. Like the very first internship I had with Ordinary Folk, I thought they were gonna give me this like shapey animation stuff. In my very first project was, let me go ahead and fucking find the Vimeo. Keep in mind that I had no idea how to do this. Like, I really, really had no idea. And it took me, I want to say like almost a month to make the whole shot. And I mean, a month of like working 8-hour days for 4 weeks. This is the video, my shot that I'm the one I'm specifically talking about. Let's see if I can find it. It's from 010? Yeah, 011 to 15, 16 seconds. That took me one whole month. So yeah, challenges, there's gonna be way, you're gonna be very, very, very challenged. You're not gonna know how to do a lot of things. You're gonna have to ask a lot of help, for a lot of help. And don't, like, do not be shy in asking help because they know you need help. Like, nobody expects a 20, 21, or even 18, 16, whatever year old to, like, just do the shot by himself. They know you're gonna need some help. They're like, I mean, they're not that old, but they know. They know what it is like. And yeah, working with other people that are like-minded, it's amazing because you guys push each other to be better. So, like, for example, let's say I send a work in progress render of an animation I did, and then Greg, who is the art animation director, basically. He's also an art director. That's his legit title, I think. He will say, like, hey, man, you can do this and maybe just scrap this whole thing and then turn it around and this would probably look better. And it's kind of, I mean, from my perspective, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to redo the whole thing. But if it makes the project be better, then that's good. And then happens the same the other way around. So, like, hey, man, maybe you could do this instead of that. And yeah, it's just pushing each other to be better. So it's really great working with people that are like-minded. Next question. Let's see. Do we ever feel like making a spinning dubstep text intro again? Dude, I have thought of doing them. Like, sometimes I listen to like some dope songs and I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to like add some spinny text to it. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. how to keep your skill in shape and up to date? That's a good question. The simple answer is just practicing, like animating. Good thing about working like full time is that you have to do it. So it's not like when you don't have any freelance gigs or you're relying solely on personal projects and your own like pursuit of getting better, you're not gonna have a schedule like, oh, I have to work like 8 hours today or whatever. You're just gonna do it how you feel. And that definitely, like, it's happened to me a lot. I spent like a lot of months without doing anything in After Effects, like nothing at all. And I get back to them like, how do nulls work? Like, what is this whole thing? You get really rusty really fast. But another way to like keeping your skills up to date is just like, I mean, right, you actually watch a lot of Vimeo stuff, and that's what I was gonna say. Like, I for some reason, it sort of like refreshes my mind and keeps me sort of like up to date and not rusty, like just watching other motion design projects. And yeah, that's always a good source, which also helps you, like, if you see an interesting movement in this piece, like in the third shot, you're like, oh, maybe I can do this for my next project or whatever. So you can also draw a lot of inspiration while keeping your skills up to date. But the best way of doing it is, of course, practicing and just keeping it away. Did the client ever rush you? I mean, it wouldn't make sense for them to rush me if I told them that I was going to deliver a certain date and it's not that date yet. I mean, the way you want to do it is like, okay, you have this project, I'll take it in, I'll give you a work in progress every, let's say every week or every set of days or whatever. And then for this date, I'm going to give you the final delivery. So that's the way it works. I mean, if you don't do that, then yeah, they probably will rush it because they are so confused. They have no idea what you're doing. They cannot see anything of the work you've been doing. They're like, yeah, it's, but best way to do it is just like, hey, I'm going to give you 3 working progresses for this 2-week long project. I'm going to give you one on Wednesday. I'm going to give you one on Friday. I'm going to give you one on Wednesday the next week. And then on Friday, I'm giving you delivery, which also gives them time to like give you any feedbacks across the way. Charlie, oh my God, that's a lot of questions, man. That's good. Let's see. What are your thoughts on going through with oh, earlier thoughts, I'm going though with sign school, like university and college, against getting an apprenticeship, internship at a studio, or both? Did you feel like you had to go through university, or it was a choice you felt better with? Ah, man, that's a question I've asked myself a lot. I do think I've learned technically way, way, way more at an internship or slash apprenticeship than I have at college or slash university. What you learn at university is how to conceptualize things and how to think about a project. They just teach you how to think. That's if you value that, and I actually do value it because good ideas come from that process. Like when it comes to technical stuff, internship are gonna, like, you're gonna learn way more a day from an internship technically than you learn like a whole month of your whatever course you're taking for motion design. So yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily like, I'm proud that I went to college. Like, I liked it. I think it would have been a bit weird just going straight to just internship slash full-time. And I would have been very, very good technically, but my ideas would have been absolutely trash. Because, I mean, most of us, I think, at least back then, the way most of us animated is just we saw this cool design and we're like, oh, what if we added this song and then we did this motion? Like, there was no concept whatsoever. We just wanted to show off our skills the best way we could. But when you get in the professional world and you actually want to get like award-winning pieces or just pieces that are good overall, you need good ideas. And for that, university did help a lot. It's not that like an internship won't help you, but I feel that I learned way more on my university. But then again, you can do that personally and be self-taught. So yeah, I mean, it's up to you at the end of the day. There's a lot of pros and cons. The biggest cons is the amount of money you have to spend, which is definitely not for everybody. But yeah, you can definitely do all that either through self-learning or an internship. I've had this question a lot, but as you are actually working at a studio, what do you think of mobile-based software? The new M1 iPad is crazy, and using AfterPress could be a possibility. As I know, studios use Procreate already. You're thinking in a few years it could be possible that mobile-based apps will be more noticeably used. Honestly, I don't think I'm the person to answer that question. I have no idea. I really have no idea. I just do use my laptop. I've never used an iPad or anything like that for any other app. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not the person to answer that one. Next one is, what's it like working with the team against working individually? Do you like having all the freedom for yourself, or working and discussing with other designers for a nice final product? I don't know. I don't remember the quote. It was something like, individually you're getting faster, together you're getting further, something like that. And that's definitely the case when it comes to like this work. When you do your work individually, unless you have super insane discipline, you're not going to correct some things you know could have been perfected. When you're in a team, people are going to tell you straight up, this could be better, this is not working, I have no idea what you're doing here, which are just things that you're not even going to realize if you're working individually. I think it's way better to work together in a team. Yeah. Biggest regret you've had in your whole design career? I'm going to have to think. Biggest regret. I actually don't. Either I have one and I'm not thinking of it, or I really just don't have like a big regret. Like, of course, you have small regrets, like, oh, I wish I would have worked on this project, but I was sick or couldn't do this or that. But I don't think those are like big enough. I know, for example, like Jorge, his biggest regret is that, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the FITC 2017 or 16 Toronto titles by Ash Thorpe. I'm going to link it here. Ash Thorpe. It's like one of the most iconic pieces. Oh, 2015. Yeah. One of the most iconic pieces in motion design. Yeah, right, Kyle. It's amazing. And his biggest regret of his whole career is that Ash actually texted him to animate the whole project and he turned it down because he was doing something else. And then this project turned out to be like the most amazing thing. But yeah, I don't have that type of regret. I'm 21, so not like I've lived a lot either. What's the best tip you give to a 15-year-old motion son who's wanting to be just like you? Thank you so much, man. If you follow your passion, if you're really passionate, you're gonna get there eventually, 100%. Just keep practicing, keep admiring the people you look up to, just keep cranking away. You're gonna have to be patient. It's not gonna come like super quick, because I remember most of us, like, I don't know, back, it was with Vinny. I would talk with him like every single weekend. We would just hop on Discord, start talking, and both of us were animating a different project. And there was like no real purpose for it. Like, we were just animating for the sake of animating. Because we just genuinely liked it. We didn't do it like for the money or anything. We used it for free because we just had actual fun animating. And that, it took us like 3 years. It took me at least 3 years of doing that and like a lot of YouTube videos until I could actually get my first freelance project. So yeah, it's not like real estate or something. You can just get results right away. If you're passionate, you're going to make it eventually. Just keep cranking away and keep practicing. Keep aiming to be better. Mac or PC? Man, that's a tough one. I've done both for a long time. I switched to Mac. Fuck PC. I'm tired. They perform way better. They're super cheap. I mean, at least compared to a Mac. But I just like the simplicity and the software of Mac. And fun fact, I don't know the precise numbers, but it was something like, I know that IBM, they switched their whole computers. It was a PC for as long as the company has ever existed. And they switched to Mac, I think it was like 1 or 2 years ago, something like that. And they had to call IT like 60% less now. So that just speaks for itself. Like, Mac is just better software. It's not going to crash. After Effects hasn't crashed very, very often, like almost at all on this laptop that's like 2017 Mac Pro. Whereas in PC, I get like 2 crashes a day. And yeah, it renders faster and everything like doesn't lag whatsoever. But it's a pain in the neck getting these crashes and like all these software problems. Also, you have Preview on Mac, which is way, way more helpful when you're like working on a ton of on a project that you have to look at many different designs, look at animations, and just like hitting the space bar, getting the pop-up of whatever you're looking at, and just like closing it again. It's super convenient. And well, and on the other hand, everybody at Ordinary Folk, they use Mac, so not like I have a choice. Currently, I'm 15 and I don't do commissions at all. First of all, be patient on that. It's fine. You're probably not going to have them for a while too. I like to have full control over what I'm doing so I can learn skills easier. Really, the only money I'm making is if I win contests. That's how everybody is. Don't worry. Do you think doing this is better so I can use my time to learn more? It's better than doing commissions. Yeah, man. When you're doing commissions, you're doing work for somebody else. You're not going to do it. I mean, some of these projects you're not even going to like. You're just going to do it for the money. That's the way it is. So if you don't need the money, which I'm guessing you don't because you're 15, just keep doing the stuff you like. You're gonna get commissions eventually. And when you get them, you're gonna be like, oh man, I wish I would be animating back to the old days, but I just did stuff for fun. So yeah. How to charge more, get better work. That's it. Generally speaking, how much does OF charge per video? I have no idea, man, but I know Buck, for example, they don't take a project for less than $500,000. I know that. But I mean, they have to be a lot of people, and that number is probably even higher now that they've grown even bigger. OF, I have no idea. I know that there's some stuff like for like regular, like the very, very basic. He calculates, it was like 10,000 for, I don't know the specifics. I can't answer really. But yeah, they charge a lot. But I do know from OF that there's some projects that they calculate how much they're going to take in profit. So like, usually they take, I think it was something like 15%, something like that. I don't even know. But for like the projects that they do, like that are more towards Christianity, those they tend to do it on a lower profit margin because they do it out of their heart, like they genuinely want to do that project. So like, we're recently doing a project, it's the Bible project. I think it was part 2 was just released, And that one, it's they're making like very, very little profit, but it's because they genuinely want to do that type of work, which is admirable, really. To play for a question, you guys want to see raise it? Why is your profile picture so good? Man, that's an NFT, dude. I've been freaking obsessed with them for some time now. Yeah, it's called Bored Ape Yacht Club. They're on the Ethereum chain. It's, and I love them. I just freaking love them. I don't know why. Yeah, NFT is a whole different conversation. How was Cat? Was considering going. Then I saw the price and heard a lot of stuff about the school. It's amazing, man. The professors are really, really good, and they really care about you if you show the initiative that you want to be better. Because there's always people that just don't give a fuck, honestly. They just don't just go there because they want to get their degree and then get their job and blah, blah, blah. But if they see in you that you really want to be better and you really want to learn, they're going to push you. Like, I remember my first project. I think it was, I don't know the class. Motion Techniques 2, something like that. I don't know. But the professor was Duff Young. He's an amazing professor. I'm actually planning on meeting with him later on. I just pitched my idea with like the design boards, and I even had some animation tests because I was like you were supposed to only pitch the idea, and I was pitching all these other things, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna kill it. This is gonna be super cool. He's gonna be like, so impressed that I did way more than he asked. And he looks at it, and he's like, that's like very amateur work. It's like, ouch, man. He's like, yeah, you're just designing because you want to make a cool animation to put on your reel. And he was right. Like, I had no idea what the overall idea was. I just wanted to do some cool designs so I can make them some cool animations. And he read that right away. He called it out. And I just had to remake the whole project from scratch. I hated him for like 2 weeks because of that. But yeah, he's my favorite professor. He's amazing. You're gonna learn a lot if you put in the work. Next question. You've got a lot of questions. I've got a couple of questions. Rego, are you allowed to talk in voice later and asking? Okay, that's not a question. What do you think of clients rushing? I mean, I think we already asked. We already answered that. What is your Twitter? I'm gonna think of that. TV. Sent it. Oh my god, there's a lot of more questions. Let me go grab where we were. What is Ordinary Folk? It's a restaurant in New York City. It's really good. They make amazing bread. Let's see. Can I offer anyone else? Award-winning motion science studio. Yeah, I know you guys were gonna answer it, that's why I didn't answer. Is that it? How much did you practice by yourself outside from client work? I never counted the hours, but like many of us, we just, sometimes it was like 3 a.m. and we were still like cranking out animations. I do remember that for the, I don't know if you guys remember the contest for BFNC, it was Bird, Fizzy, and something else. It was like this super huge contest. It was like $100 in prize, which we had never seen before. And everybody entered, and I just got back from SCAD summer seminar that week. And I was like, okay, the entries, they close on Wednesday. I just got back home on Monday. I like gotta crank this out super quick. And I know that I spent, it was like 19 hours straight, not sleeping. I had no idea what time it was, just animating that out. But yeah, that's the importance of like animating people, like because you love it, it's gonna be way easier. I don't know if you guys know this slash philosopher slash entrepreneur or whatever he's called, Naval, and he just says it pretty clearly, like if you do what you do because you love it, it's not gonna feel like work to you, and you're gonna outdo everybody else, because for them to do what you're doing, they're gonna have to like actually work, because they're not doing it because they actually love it. So yeah, like no sane person is going to like actually work 18 hours one day because they just feel like doing it, unless they just genuinely love doing it and it's fun. Like, it's like you're having fun while other people are working. That's what it is. You have everybody freaking out, like 500K, what? Yeah, man, in the big world, that's reasonable, yeah.
JP, I think the questions have basically settled. I think Akam wanted to ask a few questions himself, so I'll wait for his response.
Yeah.
Yo, so I was, it's pretty nice to hear you talk, by the way. Your voice has changed a lot. I was going to ask a couple of questions, so I'm just going to roll them out. So one thing I really want to know is what really, really surprised you. Like, obviously, you were going into the industry, going as an intern, you would have had some expectations. So was there something that, like, surprised you a hell of a lot, or was it like everything was like the way you expected it to be? And then I've got another question. I'm just gonna what's the difference between now, because I think mindset is pretty important, so what's the difference between now in mindset to like 3 years ago? Like, what really impacted the way you kind of work and the way you think about work? That's it, man.
Yeah, good question. I mean, for the first one, I really don't think anything surprised me, really. What surprised me is the same thing that surprised you guys. It was like the 500K for a project from Puck. I was mind blown because we charge like 50, 100 bucks, no more. Hearing that there's actually big bucks in the game, it's like, oh my God, that's a lot. But yeah, besides that, the workflow is pretty much the same. They just give you a shot. You just do it. You tell them I'm probably going to have it done by this week on Friday or something like that, and then you deliver it. That's basically it. Nothing really surprising there. When it comes to my mindset, I mean, it's a big word, so I don't know specifically what you're referring to, but I think that it's as you get older and you work with other people, especially, for example, now I've been working with ordinary folk, you basically learn from them, and it just, your mindset evolves around what their mindset currently is. So they definitely have a lot of influence on how you think and how, yeah. But basically, for example, let's say I'm guessing all of us, we do this one shot, it looks cool, but we think maybe if we did it this way, it would have been better. At least what I did back then, I was just posted because I was like, it's good enough. Let's just see what people think. And usually people are, oh yeah, I like it, cool stuff. They're not going to suggest, oh, maybe you should have done it this way. But I think it was Jorge that told me, I think it was a year ago, he said like the degree of how good an animator is depends on how willing he is to start a shot from scratch. And that thing is, dude, that is game changing, really. Like, I would never do that before. Like, if I did a shot, I already spent the hours, like, screw it, this is the direction I'm heading into. I already spent like 3 days working on this one. This is it. And then you just try to perfect it and tweak it as much like that so it looks presentable. But he would scrap projects that he's been working on for like 4 days and like don't even ponder about it. He's like, oh, it doesn't work. Okay, this one's fine, another one. And yeah, like the mindset evolves because basically you're more willing to accept error and understand your mistakes and be willing to like just redo it all over in that sense. Other aspects about mindset that have changed. Think about it. I don't want to give a random answer.
I have one more question, but you said you wanted to do like portfolio reviews, so maybe let's do a bit on that after you answer the question, if you'd like to.
Yeah, let's limit it though, because I'm pretty sure maybe a lot of people are going to want that, and I do have to know.
I'll just let them post it in chat, and you can choose a few.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I was thinking of, do you have any like plans or ideas set out for the future? Is there anything you want to achieve or do in your lifetime, like some kind of goal in work or like awards or anything like that?
That's a good question, man. I mean, at first, I remember like when I was like 16, 17 and starting to like get into the industry, like your goal is always like, oh, I want to be like the studio owner, or I want to be this creative director, or this and that. want to be better than this person. My goal always was being better than Jorge, but the more I know about animating, the more I know it's probably not going to happen. But also, like, as you start to grow and you start to be curious about other things, your goals change a lot. And, like, for example, I'm at a certain point that I like so many different things and I'm passionate about so many other different things that I don't have, like, a specific goal, like, oh, yeah, I'm 30 years, I'm going to do this. Because I know that goals evolve, and it's not necessarily that you're not aiming at anything, because I am aiming at several things, but I don't have this one grandiose goal in mind. If I did have one grandiose goal in mind, it's that always pursuing that thing which I become curious about, which I think is just essential for learning. If you're curious about something, man, just go for it. Read about it. Try to, you know, learn as much as you can. If you like it, then keep going and until maybe become something out of it. That's the exact same way I started doing animation. I was just genuinely curious about animating and, like, designing and After Effects and all these cool expressions and these weird effects you could make. And I had no goals of becoming an animator. But the more I dived into that curiosity, the more I was like, oh, yeah, I can actually, you know, I can make a living out of this. So, yeah, that would be, like, my general big goal. It's just pursuing things to become curious about. Unless it's drugs, then don't do drugs. Yeah.
That's lovely, man. It was very nice to hear you talk about these. People will start putting their portfolios in the stage chat now. I've already seen three. So are you going to share your screen while you're reviewing? Or
You can't do screen shares on stage, so we'll just try and keep it audio unless we all want to move into general VC, but that might get hectic.
Let's make everybody open the same link. So I'm gonna go up the bottom, I guess. Let's do 5 in total, so we got 2 spots left for portfolio reviews, whoever wants one. Will, man, you really want to review, huh?
Let's do it.
You're already grounded, boy.
Nah, never grounded, always improving.
That's great. Are you focusing more towards 3D, I guess?
Yeah, it's 3D and After Effects is my sort of thing at the minute. So yeah, all of my stuff is After Effects. No Cinema 4D.
So, like, wait, for example, the Acuity Studios thing, that was After Effects?
Yeah, it was. The start of that is very inspired off Ordinary Folk. You could probably see the start of it.
Yeah, it reminds me of it was recently posted, right?
The Magic Share one, yeah. In December.
There's a lot of projects that are like that recently. You're telling me this is all After Effects.
Yeah, 100%. There's no Cinema 4D. I use the built, you know, the After Effects Cinema 4D renderer that's, like, built in.
Yeah.
It's 100% that. So that's kind of like my thing.
What? Does it really help? Is it better for you?
I mean, I find it much easier to integrate, but people will be, you know, they'll be in my DMs saying, learn Cinema, and I want to learn Cinema, and just procrastinate.
Yeah, that would be my comment. I mean, it's cool that you actually have that skill set, because I don't know anybody that actually does legit 3D work on After Effects like that heavy, because it definitely looks like freaking Cinema 4D, bro. Like, yeah, it's crazy to believe that you did this on After Effects. I would definitely suggest, like, learning a little bit of that, because, I mean, for example, I'll give you an example of Greg. He had no idea how to work in Cinema 4D when we were doing the Webflow project, which was like 2 years ago or something, and he had to learn Cinema 4D in like 2 days to make the shot.
That tunnel one, is it the one with the line turns into the, it, like, rotates? That's the School of Motion one. I'm thinking of a different project.
No, the Webflow, the one where, like, the orbs are, like, different colors and then they come together in the center and then explode. I'm gonna send the link.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. The one
colorful one, and the scene he's talking about is probably it's the blue one, right? There are, like, blue balls flying around and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, I sent it in the chat.
The only thing, did you guys notice the mistake there? If you look at the, let me find it.
Which one are you talking about?
Let me find it real quick.
I'm curious now. Is it about the recent project?
I think it was SAP Innovations. Let me quickly check.
SAP.
Yeah, it was SAP Innovations, and at like 20, 25 seconds, you can see in the left top a shadow going over a circle, though it's in front of it.
Dude, I know you don't, like, I haven't seen the shadow, and I already think it's mine.
Only Rigo would notice that.
Oh, it's not mine. I'm happy.
It's not me. I know.
Oh,
it's
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
Link it. What's the time? Stamp?
That's crazy.
Screenshot.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It got so. I mean, a fun fact. There's an error in every single project they have done. Because I just made a shot for the Elastic.
There is a clear
error in that one, dude. There's like a super clear error.
Whereabouts? Because I can't stop watching that video.
Oh, dude, I'm sure the chat. Once you see it, you're not gonna see it. Because like it's so big.
I think one thing you learn after you go more pro is that a lot of mistakes you might make and you see yourself. Yep. A lot of like ordinary people. Nice reference. Anyway, don't notice. Or for example, in that's my studio, I might make something really mediocre, but everyone else is like, holy shit, this is bomb.
That's quite funny, actually.
But like, there's an error in every single project they have done. Greg told
so
me
this. So whereabouts
is
this?
Go to 32 seconds.
30
seconds. About 30 seconds. My shot was from 30 to 35 or something like that.
32 seconds, he said, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it the triangle?
No. Okay. Look, you see the little, what do you call it? Like the rectangles that have different colors on the sides.
Yeah.
They're being outlined by some lines, right?
Yeah.
Look at the lines that are closer to the middle and look how they pan out. They're totally detached.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Yep.
Oh, you've made me want to curl up into a ball and just disappear.
Yep. people don't even see it. Point it out.
Yeah.
You want to see it.
I mean, it is a very quick shot. You would not notice that playing.
Oh, yeah, people don't notice it. Like, that's what Greg told me. It's like, I mean, they have an error in every single shot, and just people don't notice it because it's so small. Like, look at this one, for example, the gospel.
It almost works, though. Although it kind of doesn't. It would be nice. It almost works. As a...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it only happened on one side, it would be problematic. Do you know what I mean? But the fact that happens
because it's symmetric, it's a little bit better. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And like on this one, go to like second 27 and look at the, I think it's a deer or whatever in the back.
27.
Just look at him closely. And his neck snaps.
He was? His neck just goes up.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah, I did. It just sort of... Ooh, yeah. I mean, that's not that bad. It's kind of like a framey shot. It would make sense. It's almost like a... What I like about this is... I don't know if Lankai's watching, but he's doing a thing on frame rate right now, like a case study. And he was talking about how, you know, lower frame rate when it's in the same composition as a higher frame rate attracts more attention. And Rigo, I think you touched on this.
Yeah, I did. He actually asked me for an interview. I also tried this in After Effects, and it's pretty interesting. Like, they used this in Spider-Verse, right? That was his main...
I think so, yeah. Because it was funny, actually. Lankai sent me some questions to answer in a recording, and I accidentally clicked stop streaming. So about 3 minute stream today, I was just answering his questions, and I had no idea I was live. So I was going... Then I looked in my file, I was like, where's the file? And I was like, what the hell's happened? And then I look on my channel and I've got people DMing me like, your stream ended early. It's like, sorry, I streamed. It was so confusing. It basically just made me think, because it's almost like this frame rate thing. It's like the quicker frame rate towards the front, even though it's not quite the thing, but it's just made me think of it.
One thing I've been having in my mind for a little bit is, how do you guys like keep your project like so organized, or if you have so many fucking details, how do you keep up with it? How do you keep it like the design like specific or
consistent?
I guess so.
Because your stuff is done in Photoshop before.
Sometimes Illustrator. Illustrator,
well, it probably depends on the style, but if it's a clean style for this project, which is just sent, I think it's more Illustrator. But if it's more stylized, I guess, with lighting, then they would probably go into Photoshop. Depending you'd still do the vector style frames in Illustrator.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's basically the job of the art director. They just have to make sure that every single style frame and all the style frames all together, they look like one whole piece. So yeah, that's their job basically.
Yeah. So when you're animating this, are you animating PSD files? Is that what's happening?
No, I mean, Jorge says this, you should always recreate the files. Like PSD should be used, right. if they okay. design on Illustrator, then you can use that shape. But even then, sometimes it's useful to just make the shape from scratch because of some settings or whatever. But if it's on Photoshop, never animate PSD layers. Always recreate them. Just use them as a reference and to pick the mind of the designer. He's like, oh, so she put this layer as an overlay above all, everything else, and then did this. So basically, you use it as reference, but you should never animate PSD layers unless it's like some really, really long stuff.
That makes sense because I saw something. I think it was the whole frame workshop with School of Motion.
Mm-hmm.
There was something in there about it, which was, I think he basically touched on that. It's the whole sort of recreating.
Yeah.
I might be massively wrong, but I think that's the...
It gives you more customizability. So yeah, that's great. But yeah, keep staying on the portfolio reviews because I'm sure there's others that want to get your shot. I mean, one thing that I noticed real quick is that everything, at least most of the things I'm looking at are either purple or blue.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a very small thing. You can just exploring with different color palettes. Basically.
Yeah, I wanted use... orange more.
Irrelevant go for it. Go crazy if you want to. Because I definitely think you have a certain style with like 3D with that, like the After Effects-ish 3D. They all have the overall style, which is good because at least it gives you, like people know that style pertains to you, sort of.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to like color palettes, I would play around a little bit more. Like don't be afraid to like push things to be a bit more like blurred. Because like everything now, as of now, it's like very solid and stuff. Just have fun with it. But like, yeah, I mean, you're definitely in a good position. So we don't need to worry. How old are you already? You're
20, I'm 17. Right? 17.
What the? You're 17?
I'm 17. Yeah.
Oh no, man! Don't worry about it. You're good. Yeah, that's good. You're gonna get a job going.
Damn.
I thought you were 20. That's crazy.
I mean, that's a massive compliment. I look about 12. That's hilarious. Thank you, though, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, you have a nice portfolio. I was judging you as a 20-year-old, so that's better.
Wow. That means a lot.
Maybe just a question, if I can. How many people do you have, like, on one project, usually?
You know what? Let me go to the Slack right now, and I'll give you some numbers. So... let's see, for this one, why does it not show the amount of people? Oh, okay, so for this one we have 15. For this other one we have 11. For this one we have 13. 15 for the other one. This one we have 8. What else? Yeah, that's about usually the number.
So right?
Huh?
A lot of them are freelancers, right?
Yeah, they have a large list of freelancers, which is good. But yeah, that aside, let's go with... Do you have a reel, Will?
I do, yeah. Do you want to... Shall I link it?
Yeah. I mean, it's better to judge and reel it. I can do the portfolio as well, because I'm looking at following... There's one part that we can't see on our airline. Oh, you adult content? What do you have here, Toby?
Have a good time. We'll take over administration and I'll head off for now.
Good stuff, man. Have a good
one. Have a good one, then, man.
You guys too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, for some reason it says that I'm under 18 years old in Behance, so I can't see that Toby. But let's see for it. Oh my god. Okay, Song. How old are you, Fabi, first? Because I think it's
Fabi's pretty... 14.
He's 14. Get out of here, man. What?
Some young talents. Trust me.
Who's the youngest talent. One?
The youngest, I reckon, I mean, we don't allow people under 13. because that's Discord TLS.
You don't allow people.
In this server sort of thing, because it's Discord TOS is like minimum of 13, so sort of got to play up to their thing, because obviously we're verified, we have to sort of keep this reputation up. But yeah, we would allow all ages, although the trouble is you get really young people, they start to, you know, the average age goes down, it becomes less appealing to sort of 20-year-olds. It's like, oh, anyway, you get it. But yeah, so 13 will be the youngest age you'll see, but Fabi, I know.
Fabi, that is crazy, man. Like, for a 14-year-old, I remember, what was the name of this one guy that was super, super young as well, back when we were, like, way younger? He was, like, super talented. I think he got reposted by Jorge or something like that. Don't remember?
Say again?
There was this one kid that was super, super young back then. He got reposted. I think it was Mix, I think. I don't know.
Might have been Mix,
Yeah, he was, like, super young, super, super talented, and, like, Jorge retweeted one of his reels when he was, like, 13, 14.
That's nuts.
But yeah, you guys are insane if you're doing that stuff at your age. And I like the way you presented everything. Probably like the behance. I actually have never done anything in behance, so yeah, it's pretty cool and crazy.
Behance is just really satisfying. I think it's the only reason I use it. It's just, you know, to see this like video turn into this project, and you get this like big style.
People,
just...
people are turning more to behance now than Vimeo. Vimeo is sort of dying off for some reason.
I look at Behance like LinkedIn for designers, in a weird way, but yeah.
One thing I would recommend, Fabi, because I know you're doing some effects here that I, from my suspicion, are sort of like showing off skill. So I'll send you a quick image. So like that little smear you have on the text, that's definitely not needed. You can just do that even without like the delay you have going on. You can just keep it simple. Like sometimes you don't have to make the super cool motion to lay the idea that, you know, this is working. You can do that with way simpler stuff. So yeah, it's fine if it looks bland. I mean, you can have some sweet motions and looking bland. You could even try for that one. Let's say, so the animation is the squares.
Maybe even make the smear like a white to match that glow at the bottom.
I think it looks better without glow, all of them.
Yeah,
you can just keep it straight, like with the yellow, and then the followed also is full black with the text on yellow.
Yeah, one thing
I could even mask on when you do the animation of the rectangle expanding out.
Like in general, I just think shadows on yellow just aren't the one. I just cannot.
Yeah.
I just no. Like if you've got a yellow, use lights. It's like use a white with a yellow, not a black. I feel like black's a bit, it's almost like gives off hazards. And it's like, because the problem is when you get like a black and then it sort of fades onto a yellow, it turns into this browny sort of dark yellow color, which isn't the most pleasant. But yeah.
And to further prove it, like you didn't have that shadow on like the text or other animations you did in the intro. So like for the first time we see the shadow is on those badges. So like our direction wise, it doesn't make a lot of sense to all of a sudden bring these shadows and making it look like 3D. Just keep it simple. It's gonna look way, way better.
Fabi says he didn't make the intro.
Wait, what? So what did you do?
Whoa, can we just appreciate how many people have joined today? Oh my god.
The alerts are the icons, right? That's the alerts. Like what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah, then yeah, perfect. Yeah, it would be better if you kept that with the same art direction as the thing before it, because it's gonna look a little bit off. But yeah, like I like the little expansion you have, the rectangle for the logos, that's great. And even the follow subscribe thing, that's great as well. It's just like you're trying too much to stylize it in one way when you don't even need to do that. So, but yeah, overall it's really, really good. And don't even want to mention the fact that you're 14, which is crazy. So we're going now on Muffy. Let me send a link again because there's been quite some messages.
Yeah, that has as well.
Yeah. Copy. I think this
Sage Discovery the work and it's magic for sure, literally.
Oh, and I think Agent asked you to do web development. No, not at all. Yeah. see, so I'm like the real now. Let's see.
I do want to watch this actually.
Yeah, I think I got my comments set up already. Like everything when it comes to, wait, what's this? Hold up. Yeah, I basically have two comments. The first one is actually I have three. The first one is like, well done on like the syncing animations and like actually making the animations flow between each different project. That is good. And that's a thing a lot of people fail and miss at when doing show reels, which I think is the most important thing you need to work on. Like if you have a good reel, you're done. You're gonna do your job. But the one thing that kind of pissed me off is like we spend 12 seconds before seeing any work. Like we're just reading sentence by sentence. It's like, hi, my name's Rafi. It's like motion design and video editor. You can even keep it like that. Like, that's it. Like, okay, after that, okay, let's give you your logo, let's start looking at some work. I'm a freelancer, remotely working around the world. Like, people are not going to care about that. Just showing what they want. And then for the videos themselves, I get the idea that you're doing, like, keeping the whole art direction match. So, like, the videos are not full screen, they're, like, on this little box. Follow, like, where does this whole grain outside? And although it's more cohesive artistically, I don't think it helps you to showcase your actual work because now people are gonna have to like squint their eyes to like look at the work. I think it's better if you just put full screen. And then go back to that style you have in the end with your logo. And then that other message you say, I thrive turning bad ideas into life. You can do that in your website and not in the reel. Just keep it simple. End with the logo, and then the wrap is risky, specialized motion sign video. That is fine. But those would be basically my two comments. Just give them what they want, by the way.
Absolutely. I was saying, if a company or a university, whatever, is looking through your reel, they're literally going to be flicking through your reel. Like, they've got hundreds of other reels to look at, right?
Oh, so, dude, way too many.
Right? So if you've got about 13 seconds of text, they're thinking, boring, move on, right? You literally want to be... Mm-hmm. 3-5 seconds maximum, right? Just kicking it out. If that, 3 seconds, right? Just say your name, what this is, like it's your real cool, straight into work. Just get into the work and put your best stuff first. And then also leave a strong impression as well. So sort of your weaker stuff should go in the middle, but you've got to be brutal with it as well. So really do cut
anything
that's not good.
I mean, if you can do a reel without like any weak stuff, like I know it's odd to say and doesn't even make sense at some point, but if you have, let's say, 10 pieces and out of those 10, you have 5 good ones, don't make a reel that has the 5 good ones. Let's say 3 good ones up front, and then in the middle, there's a ton of trash, and then in the end, you have the last 2 good ones. Just do a reel with the 5 good ones, and it's going to be a good reel overall. They're going to judge you on the quality of your work. If they see a good one, they're going to like it and they're going to hire you right away. If they see a bad one, they're going to judge. It's going to be like, should I really? Just, if you have bad work and you want like fillers, don't put it. Just don't put it. Just retime it. If the reel has to be like 30 seconds, then that, so be it. Just keep the good quality work on there. Thank you for coming. We'll be executing for next year. Sure thing, man. Good work, actually.
JP, how often do you think someone should make a reel? Every year? Every 6 months?
It depends. Because like I did make my reel for like 2020, but I never posted it because I just think you can't do that much work in a year to show in a reel. Like I basically would have to, I had to recycle work from previous years to put them in the new, this 2020-2021 reel. But if it's the case that you simply like you haven't been able to land a job or a reputation or a freelance or whatever with the current reel you have that's like 2 years old, then if you consider that you have way better work now and that reel doesn't specifically show how good you are, or how good you've become, then yeah, for sure, make another one.
Yeah. So it's almost like make a reel for opportunities that come up.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So, you know, you're trying to apply into a uni, whatever, you need to make the reel for applying to uni. Then just
post that would be like private stuff. So like definitely don't post that. You should be way more considerate when posting your reels, because it's kind of it's like a signature basically.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I think that's it. I don't think we have any more questions or anything.
If that is everything, it's been an hour, so that's kind of perfect. If anyone's got any questions, I know Akam's typing, I just want to see what he says. If anyone's got any questions, pop them now, because we're about to call it, I think. But JP, how free are you now? Like, are you going to be in VC? Are you heading off?
How free? Wait, repeat that question again.
So how free are you after this? Are you going to be in VC? Are you heading off now?
I'm still in Savannah, Georgia. I'm going to stay here for an extra year.
All right.
And then depends on visa issues. Oh wait, Kai, you posted your reel? Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, I was in the middle of all this work, so I didn't see you. This one.
Yeah, to be fair, we did lose a lot of links.
Let's see.
Stage discovery is insane, actually, because if you look at the
join
log.
Yeah, that's how you do it, man.
We've joined a lot.
That person reminds me of Andrew Vuko. Do you use that for inspiration? Just want to know. It's not no problem. Like, it looks really, really good. Yeah. I kind of sense some Andrew Vuko there. Comment would be that 19 to 22 second, 23 second section. It's like not your work. I'm going to it's a totally different type of work, and I'm not sure if you want to do that and like show people that type of stuff. If that, like, you basically should show the work that you want to get projects out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that came out correctly. So like, if you show that 19 second to 23, then people that like that, they're gonna hire you for that. And if that's your expertise, then cool. But if you don't want that type of project, then don't include it. And yeah, and it's not even like the super crazy shot either. Like, in all fairness, like everything else is way, way cooler. So I would just like get rid of it or put something else that's another piece that you've kept from based on the reel. For the needed video editing. Oh, okay, then yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool COD edit. I feel like a lot of us joined by doing COD edits as well. Benny was a master of that. Yeah, it's a good reel overall. And it proves the point that I was saying, like, just straight to the point. Here's my logo, 1 or 2 seconds of the logo, and then all the work. Oh, one more question. Do you play any games in your free time? Dude, I played, yeah. I mean, the reason I now had a Mac is because I played way too many games on PC, so it's a better, yeah. I mean, I do have some self-discipline, but it just good not having the temptation right there when you're working.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, like right now, I just have my PS4, so I only play Call of Duty and Apex Legends right now. But yeah, I'm pretty much a beast in Call of Duty, so if you guys want to challenge, you can go for it. Valorant, oh dude, I even played Pro Valorant for a second. Like, we had a team, because I'm from the Dominican Republic, so we played in Latin America, and our team, after I left, we beat Dignitas in one map, so that was good. Rocket League, nah. I mean, I've played it, I suck at it. I haven't put that too much time, because it is this game that you really have to crank out. Joey P, when did you decide that a piece is ready for social media? I know you didn't post your graduation piece, a written piece, which was up to quite a good quality. So what's the deal breaking an upload or not? It's just my, I know while I was making it, there were so many mistakes along the way, but I just needed to show it because it was a due date. But I was like, okay, I know there's many mistakes, but I know that it's good enough for the class and for me to graduate. So I'm going to show it, and I'm not going to post it, because I would either have to like go back and redo a lot of the things that I don't like, or something else. But yeah, it's basically right. And it's not like I care about social media. Like, I'm not that kind of person. Like, yeah, I want to build a social media following. Like, look at my work, but I don't care about that. Yeah. I mean, I have the game, but I just don't play Rocket League. You need to get an MO ball. What is that? MO? Mobile? What? I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, mobile. That's the, if I'm not wrong, I think it's the thing that Jorge does, unless I'm massively wrong. I think, because Akan mentioned it to me.
The little tournament thing. Yeah. I was on there, but I was at Costa Rica at that time. Our team was going to be Jorge, Greg, and I.
Eventually, me and Akan were trying to get a team for a short time. It's hilarious.
Fortnite, dude, I played Fortnite so long. I spent so much money in Fortnite. It's crazy. I had like the OG Skull Trooper and the Renegade. Is it the Renegade name? Something like that. Yeah, it's like the rarest. Besides the Aerial Skull Trooper. Because it's rarer than the Renegade because many people bought the Renegade, not the Aerial. And yeah, I mean, I played Minecraft. Everybody does, so. Dude, yeah, Greg is a genius, man. That guy's insane. He knows way too much. And yeah, we'd still love to chat about NFTs sometimes. Yeah, dude, sure thing. You're going to lose all your money in NFTs, but welcome.
NFTs, like, I wanted to get into them for a short time, and then I was kind of like, no, and then... I don't know, they kind of like died down on Twitter, I think. I don't know.
The way I got into it and the why I like NFTs is the same reason why I loved spending money on CSGO skins, which is basically an NFT, really. You can prove that you own it, nobody can have it except you, unless, like in this case, there's a lot of like same tokens for the same skins. I was very addicted to it, CSGO skins, and now that NFTs are a thing, it's like, oh, I found my new thing. I love it. Like, for example, I got this ape thing that I have as my profile picture, like freaking everywhere. And because I own that, now I have access to like this other stuff. Like, I was able to, there's like this inside the community that there's these people that they do woodwork base. I don't know how you say it. I'm going to send a link. Like, they basically make a canvas for you out of wood with the design of your NFT, which is kind of cool. And only you can have it because you're the only owner of that. Let me see if I can find the thing. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, I'm just been. It's like I said, I'm very curious about them. So I just like every day I'm just like looking at what's up with NFTs, what's the new thing, whatever, this and that. But don't get in it because it's hype. Just get in it if you actually like it because you're prone to lose a lot of money.
Yeah. Plus, I'm pretty sure you have to be like 18.
You do?
Don't know, crypto, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you do. But I mean, yeah. Well. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? I guess that's about it. Because I do have to head out very shortly, so.
All right. We'll call it there. Guys, it's been an honor. JP, it's been amazing having you.
This is great. If you guys want to do it again sometime, I'm totally down. But
that'd be crazy. Amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, if you could all just basically say thank you to JP. Obviously, he's given up an hour of his time for this, which is insane. Is there anything you want to say, JP, on the way out? Any parting comments, any quotes?
Damn, why you put me on that spot? I don't know. Most of you guys, if you're doing animation, it's because you like it. I don't think any of you are doing it because of the money, because I would think that most of you aren't making any, which is a good thing. Just keep following that thing you love, man. If you really love animation, you're passionate about it and design, whatever that is, there's a lot of people that just transition to music and they keep doing music. Most of us actually did that. From our group back when we were like 15, 16, most of them transitioned to music, which is good either way. Just keep doing what you love. You keep learning, keep trying to get better. And yeah, don't lose sight of that.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. It's been great.
No worries.